Good afternoon and welcome to this session. I firstly thank Shruti for giving me this opportunity. I would actually consider it a privilege because D.K. Pattammal is not only one of the most respected artists of all time, but she's one of my personal favorites. I'd like to start the session with a beautiful recording of hers that has been immortalized through her gramophone record.
Thank you. see the emotion in her voice, see the clarity, see how it touches you. So that's what DK Pattammal stands for, and that's why we are all here today to talk about her. DK Pattammal hailed from a family that was not actually a family of musicians. So it's really remarkable that with her extraordinary perseverance and interest and passion, she took to this in a big way and completely did some things that were not tried before. Her mother taught her some music. She knew a few compositions which she taught her. And her father taught her some shlokas. He set them to tune himself, and, you know, like Shamla Dandakam and stuff like that. This was her initial beginning with music. And she did not have a formal guru. She did not have a sustained guru at any point of time in her life. So there's this person who she didn't even remember, whom she used to just call Telugu Vadyar, who would come home and teach her a few songs. And then one day her school headmistress, Amukutti Amma, she heard her sing and she was completely struck by this extraordinary talent this small girl showed. So she featured her in one of the school musical dramas. And, you know, DK Pattammal was the most striking voice in that show. And some local newspaper took a picture of her and put it in the newspapers. And her father was really horrified by this. It's unlike these times when, you know, you do anything to get some publicity. But in those days, this kind of publicity was kind of scary, especially in a Brahmin family. He was worried that his daughter would not find a husband. He was like, oh my God, she's in the papers. She's never going to be considered, like a dignified person. So we're going to have trouble finding a boy. But one good thing that happened from that was that the Columbia Record Company talked to them and tried to get this voice recorded. In those days, we had the 78 RPMs. And DK Pattammal's father was completely at a loss as to what to do about this. He wanted his daughter to sing, but he didn't want the publicity. But the school headmistress, she came and she talked to him and she said, why are you looking at this as a negative thing? You know, we have to break out of some of these barriers. Your daughter is meant to do something really big. So you should let her, you know, use this opportunity. And she talked him into signing up for this record. And she gave a series of recordings, including this one that we heard. Soon after this, the headmistress, she took such a sustained interest that at every step of the way, she guided them to bigger things. So she also convinced Pattammal's father to send his daughter to Madras to take a government technical exam for music. And DK Pattammal went there, and the judges, one of the judges were Ambi Dikshitar. He's the grand nephew of Muthuswami Dikshitar, son of Subbarama Dikshitar. And he asked this girl casually, she was just barely 9 or 10 years old, and he asked her, do you know any Dikshitar Kritis? And she had no idea who this man was. She said, yeah, I know one song, Sri Subramanyaya Namaste. And then he said, okay, why don't you sing it? And she sang it with so much power and boldness that he was completely, you know, enamored of this small girl singing this big song with so much ease. And he said, okay, I need to teach you more Dikshitar Kritis. And so he told the father, please extend your stay. And again, DK Pattammal's father was, oh, I'm just a school teacher. I can't get even a single day off more than I've already asked for. I only get one day off for this. I have to go back to my work. And again, he was convinced to stay back for 15 days. And DK Pattammal got this extraordinary opportunity to learn Dikshita Krutis from a very authentic source. And today we all, you know, associate D.K. Pattammal with Dikshita Krutis too. So he stayed back the 15 days, she learnt all this, and another good thing that came out of that meeting with Ambi Dikshitar was that he introduced her to his other disciple T.L. Venkatramayyar, who was a justice in the Supreme Court of India. But T.L. Venkatramayyar was also a good scholar, music scholar, with a particular leaning towards Dikshitar Krutis. And eventually T.L. Venkatramayyar also became one of the committee members and the president of the Music Academy. And that was a good contact that she built at that point. It really helped her establish herself in Chennai later and even got her the Sangeeta Kalanidhi at some point. And then Ambi Dikshitar told her, okay, I'm going back to Ettayapuram after this. So I'll send word for you. You need to come to Ettayapuram and continue your learning from me some more. And they eagerly await the news from him. And then shockingly what they hear is that he passed away soon after he went back. So D.K. Pattammal, even in her last days, she used to remember this encounter with a lot of pain, because that was an opportunity that was missed. And she really cherished the time that she spent with him. In the meantime, where she lived in Kanchipuram, there's this very big famous musician, Kanchipuram Naina Pillai. Naina Pillai was considered a Pallavi expert. He was considered an expert on Tyagaraja Krutis and Tevarams and Tirupugal. So D.K. Pattammal, just by watching Naina Pillai, just watching him, she had no teacher to actually guide her. She just had to pick up things. Just by watching him, she picked up so many ragam tanam pallavis. She picked up the structure of different pallavis in so many complicated talams, which she eventually used in her career. In fact, one of her earliest 78 RPMs feature the Jagan Mohini Pallavi that she used to sing a lot. So that was in the 30s itself, when she was still a teenager. She sang the Jagan Mohini Pallavi. So Naina Pillai was a big influence on D.K. Pattammal, and she used to actually watch with envy Brinda and Mukta, who were doing Gurukulavasam at that time with Kanchipuram Naina Pillai. But D.K. Pattammal's absorbing capacity was such that she picked up all the Krutis just by listening. And Sahityam, getting Sahityam was such a hard thing in those days. There were no books. Publishing and all started much later in Carnatic music. No books were available for lyrics. So she would sit there, her brothers, and she would try to memorize the song as it was sung. She would try to memorize the song with all the Sangatis. And the Naina Pillai school, believe me, it has so many Sangatis even in the normally heard Krutis. So she would pick up the tune, the Sangatis, as she heard them, and her brothers would try and write down the words, and then they would scurry around to make sure the words are right, and then she would practice them and perfect them and sing them. This was how life was then. No recorders, no teacher to guide her. Just imagine the passion, the observation power, the intensity with which she grasped so much. Anyway, soon after this, around this time actually Naina Pillai gave her an opportunity to sing in the Tyagaraja Aradhana he would conduct every year. And again she made a big mark with him, and he even commended her for her wonderful singing. I think she sang Raksha Bettare at that point in that festival. And Naina Pillai's mother, Kamakshi Ammal, called her, and she taught her Brovavamma in Manji. And all this was when she was still in her, you know, barely in her teens. So these are all things that she very much cherished, you know, these little things which she considered treasured moments she remembered till the end of her life. Then when she was about 12 or 13 years old, Professor Sandhamurthy used to conduct a summer course in Madras. So her headmistress again told D.K. Pattamal, I think you need to go and attend that course, it will be really useful for you. And so again, D.K. Pattamal's father was persuaded to take her to Chennai. And she, you know, learnt a lot of things in the course, and they also gave her an opportunity to sing at the RR Sabha in Mylapore. That was her first full concert. And soon after that, she was also invited at the Egmore Mahila Samaj. This was all in 1932-1933. She was born in 1919, so she was like 13, 14 years old. So eventually, Pattamal increased her repertoire by learning from the disciples of big musicians like Kanchipuram Naina Pillai and Ariyakudi Ramanuja Iyengar. Maybe a good thing that came out of not having a guru, it's only possible if you have that particular kind of intuition and the passion to persevere at something. Not everybody can become what Pattamal became without a guru, but it actually is a testimony to Pattamal's own, you know, seeking of good values, good things, that she was able to create her own style. I'm sure in those days, going without a guru might have been really hard for her to establish herself, but just with her, the power of her music, she was able to do that. And she was able to create her own style and make a name for herself. In 1933, Pattamal was introduced to Papanasham Shivan. And that was again a wonderful guru-shishya bond, where Pattamal got the opportunity to learn Papanasham Shivan's compositions directly from him. And, you know, again, today we consider her an authentic source for those kritis. Also, Papanasham Shivan at that time used to compose music for films. And film music in those days was all Carnatic music. So, it was all acceptable music. Even today, it's acceptable. So she was able to go and sing without changing her style or her values. But one thing was that Pattamal only sang patriotic songs, devotional or patriotic songs. She never participated in the normal duets and love romance scenes, stuff like that she did not participate in. And one joke is that she would sing playback for these films, but she never got to watch those movies herself. Her husband didn't like movies, and he didn't think it was nice for her to go and watch movies in a film theater. So she never got to watch them. She only watched them later on when she was in her 70s, when it was aired on TV. So Pattamal was highly respected among her contemporaries and even her seniors. Somebody like Ariyakudi saw the effort and the struggle that somebody like Pattamal had, and he actually nicknamed her Padu Pattamal, as in somebody who has put the effort. Padu Padrathu is to put the effort to struggle and come up. And her Pallavi expertise also won her the nickname of Pallavi Pattamal. She got the Sangeeta Kalanidhi in 1970, and she lived to the ripe old age of 90. So we lost her last year in July. And she was very alert. The last time I saw her, she was very alert. Such a wonderful, graceful person. full of humility. And she actually showed how you can lead a life with grace. You don't have to be a feminist to actually make names in the music field. You don't have to be a strident person to be a big name in the chosen field. She actually did all her boldness she showed only in her music. So this is a small biography of her. Now coming to her music and her style. Okay, now let's first talk about her voice. Pattammal is actually one musician, a female musician, who made it big even with a low-pitched, not shrill voice. For some reason, we Indians prefer high-pitched, shrieking, shrill voices. I don't know what it is with our taste, but D.K. Pattammal defied these standards and she created a new benchmark. Initially, she started singing at a high pitch of 6 kattai. So, if somebody blames Nityashree for singing at such a high pitch, you should just go back 2 generations and, you know, you'll know that Pattammal actually started at that pitch. She started at a really high pitch. In those days, without mics, it was needed. You needed high-pitched voices to reach across to audiences. She started at that pitch, but eventually her pitch dropped almost a whole octave. By the end of her life, she was singing at A, that was in the lower octave, which is even lower than a man's Shruti, you know, the male pitch. So it could be that she used to actually wake up at 3 o'clock every morning to practice. She's told me this herself, that, you know, later the day would catch up with her, so she had to wake up before her domestic responsibilities took over. So she would wake up at 3 o'clock every morning to practice, and she would at least put in 2 or 3 hours of practice before she started her other activities. So that could be one reason why the pitch may have dropped so much. But anyway, who cares about the pitch? She was able to sing 2 octaves easily at any point of time in her life. You never hear her struggling to reach the higher notes or the lower notes. And another thing that we look for in any music is Shruti Shuddham, fidelity to Shruti. Pattammal had that in abundance. I listened to so many recordings these last few weeks trying to pick the best, and I'm telling you honestly, I had such a tough time picking the best ones. I just picked some random ones at the end of it. Everything, there's not one Shruti lapse in her singing. And so many recordings, so many songs, so many things she sung, Raga Lapna, Kritis, Kalpanaswaram, Neraval, anything. She just sang, she opened her mouth, it would land in the perfect Shruti. As far as Gamakas, which are essential for our music, Pattammal used Gamakas very economically. She produced the exact required Gamaka, very economical in her movement. No excess, nothing less. You would get the fullness of experience just listening. It was a simplistic approach to Gamakas, but it was just ideally suited for her voice. She delivered it impeccably, and you would never feel like, oh, here she could have sung, extended the Gamaka a little more, or here she sang a little too much Gamaka. You would never, never feel that with D.K. Pattammal. It was just the right amount. And again, all this comes from such a, you know, perfect instinct of what is good music, what is good values. I would re-emphasize the same point. Basically, her approach itself stood for good values, good classicism, all the best. And it was just her personal taste itself was such a, you know, such a good order, you know, that she sought the best things and she knew how to translate. She would think and she knew how to translate and what to give. One criticism that could be placed on Pattammal's voice was that it didn't have modulation. But on the other hand, the same thing could actually have been her strength too, because she could give that evenness in tone, volume, intensity in any octave. That actually became her asset, and I think it's again a statement of her times. Because of Michael's singing, you needed that kind of intensity to deliver. So that could be the reason why she cultivated her voice like that. And the thing that I observe the most in her singing is the arithm and the wholeness with which she sings every note. Every note she will touch to the full extent. You won't see her slurring or just skimming over the surface of notes. She would sing it to its full extent and the weight and the solidity that it required. And the best thing was the emotion in her voice. That was the hallmark of anything she sang. Such powerful emotion, and this was best conveyed in her choice of Dikshitar Kritis and Shyama Shastri Kritis. It was so suited for her voice, because in Dikshitar Kritis we have musical emotion, even though the composition Sahityams are just descriptions of deities. The musical emotion in Dikshitar Kritis is very high. We have Sahityam emotion in both Shyama Shastri and Papanasham Shivan Kritis. So these were so beautifully showcased in her voice, and she made sure that she also, you know, expanded her repertoire in these areas. And she was also very comfortable in Madhyama Kalam and Chauka Kalam, so she modeled her style on these lines. For her times, I think D.K. Pattammal was a highly intellectual musician. I think women in those days weren't expected to, or even did not deliver, very intellectual stuff. But D.K. Pattammal was one of the people who actually said in one interview that, oh, we have the same brain structure as the men, so why are we not doing the same things as they do? So she packed a lot of intellect in her music, and her intellect was showcased in various ways. Her choice of raga alapanas, the ragas that she chose, it was showcased in Ragam Tanam Pallavis, the hard choices she made there. And even in Swarakalpana, she actually brought in a lot of intellectual elements. She was probably one of the first ones to actually sing some small Kanaka patterns, mathematical patterns, in her swaras. Actually, in those days, women were not even allowed to sing swaras, so she was among the early ones, not the first, but among the early ones to sing swara kalpana and with a little bit of mathematical patterns. Another thing that I find in D.K. Pattammal's music is her thorough professional approach. This is something that cannot be taught by any teacher. You either have it or you don't. Some teacher can probably guide you, but it's something that has to be inherent. And D.K. Pattammal had this naturally. So the way she used her voice, for example, it completely showcased only her best areas, her strengths. And even in the choice of repertoire or how she presented something. Now I heard many Ragam Tanam Pallavi recordings, and she's not sung very elaborate ones. The longest Pallavi that I heard was about 26 minutes, at least in my collection. The whole thing was 26 minutes. And in this she has cleverly planned and sung the Raga Alapana in two sections. And then, so she would sing one section, then let the violinist play, and then she would continue the Raga Alapana, very short, and then she would move on to the Tanam. So this gave a feeling of a very elaborate raga exposition. It was not very long in duration. And then in the Pallavi, she very cleverly sang all the Trikalam and everything and quickly moved on to some Kanaka patterns and then Ragamalika. See, today we might look at this and say, so what's the big deal? Everybody does it. You should just remember that she was doing all this in the 30s when it was still not a common thing. 30s, 40s, 50s, it was not common. Today's women, we have so much exposure. We get more opportunities to watch other people. We get recordings. We get so many sources of learning. So today's women do all these things, but these were the first steps taken by somebody like D.K. Pattammal. So it's very remarkable that she made these, you know, such a beautiful professional approach to her whole thing. And her sense of proportion was excellent. She would never overdo. There would never be an instance when you'll say, oh, I wish she just sang ragams a little less, or I wish she didn't sing so much of these Kalpana Swarams, or she just sang way too many Tukadas. You'll never hear these complaints about D.K. Pattammal's concert planning. She knew how to structure and plan them so beautifully. There's such a good balance between compositions, creativity, you know, composers, variety of compositions and everything. Okay, now one of the biggest strengths that D.K. Pattammal had was in the rendition of compositions. In fact, her whole style was the strongest foundation of her style was the way in which she sang compositions. And she's actually probably the only musician to have sung every type of composition you can imagine. Varnam, Kriti, Padam, Javali, Tirupugal, Tirupavai, Tevaram, Tiruvachagam, Bhajans. Everything, you name it, she's sung every kind of thing. Ashtapadi, Devarnama, Annamacharya compositions, Kirtanas. Every musician would have their area of expertise and they would not sometimes venture into things like other, you know, there are lots of musicians who never sing padams. There are lots of musicians who would never sing bhajans. But D.K. Pattammal spanned the whole variety. So I think that's one other specialty of her music. One other thing about D.K. Pattammal's rendition of compositions is that it is such an economical, clean rendition of that song. You just play it, listen to it a couple of times, you will immediately understand the structure of the composition. That was the economy, the word Tamil word for this is chittai, chittayana padam. This is what they'll say. Very economical, very powerful rendition. Her taste itself ensured that her, you know, versions were one of the best. And beyond that, her own power of singing, the cleanness with which she sang was easily one of the, you know, best styles for anybody to approach. Very accessible. Anybody could play a recording of hers, listen to it and understand and immediately learn the song. It would not have all these complicated twists and turns. Okay, now I'm going to play. Now, talking about compositions, we've all heard so many Dikshitar and Papanasham Shivan compositions, but I just wanted to, for a change, I wanted to play a bhajan sung by her. Tulasidas bhajan. Just see the emotion in which she sung this.
Janaki Nath Sahaya Kare Jab Janaki Nath सहाय करे जब कौन भी कहर करे नर ते हो जानकी नाथ सहाय करे जब कौन भी कहर करे नर ते हो जानकी नाथ सहाय सूरज मंगे सोम पृगुसुत सूरज मंगे सोम पृगुसुत सूरज मंगे सोम पृगुसुत उदर उवर गायक ते हो उदर उवर गायक ते हो जानकी नाथ प्रभु के तुति नाही गम्यता प्रभु के तुति नाही गम्यता प्रभु के तुति नाही गम्यता शनिचर हो तऊ से हो संग शनिचर हो तऊ से हो जानकी नाथ जाकी सहाय कई करुणा निधि जाकी सहाय कई करुणा निधि जाकी सहाय करी करुणा निधि ताके जगत में बाग बढ़े हो 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 रघुवंशी संतन सुख गाए रघुवंशी संतन सुख गाए रघुवंशी संतन सुख गाए रघुवंशी संतन सुख गाए तुलसीदास चरण पोचे हो 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 जानकी नाथ सहाय करे जब कौन भी कहर करे नर ते हो जानकी नाथ सहाय
See the emotion in that also. So powerful, and I'm sure everybody here is feeling that little pang inside, right? Now coming to the creative aspects, D.K. Pattammal sang not only all the commonly heard ragas, the major ragas like Shankarabharanam, Kalyani, Bhairavi, Kambodhi, Kararapriya, Todi. She also sang ragas like Dhanyashi, Ananda Bhairavi, all the less heard. And I actually found that in every recording that I had, she has even sung Ashaveri. It probably was one of her favorite ragas. She either sang it as a Varnam, Tirupugal, Kriti, you know, seems to have been one of her favorites. So, when it came to raga alapanas, D.K. Pattammal again believed in brevity. She did not believe in being creative just for the sake of it or just for the record. Oh, I sang 15 minutes Raga Alapana today. She probably did not believe in that. It was to the point and carried all the important things that the raga required. The whole essence of the raga, she put it in a nutshell, delivered it very neatly. And her creativity was also shown in the choice of ragas and not, you know, just the pointless exposition for the record. I have a nice clipping of a Mukhari Alapna by her. Just 1.5 minutes and see how Mukhari is just dripping from every phrase she sang. Now when it came to Neraval and Kalpana Swarams and Thanam singing, again she believed in economy, proportion. Those were the key words for her, the big mantras. In Kalpana Swarams, she's actually shown a lot of adventurous spirit. She's taken up songs that have challenging Oedipus or starting points. She's even varied the Oedipus and sung it at 2-3 points. So there are Kritis and Ragam Thanam Pallavis where she's done all this. Her laya strength was shown to a small extent in the Kalpana Swaram singing, but in a really big way in Ragam Thanam Pallavis. She really excelled in this. She was one of the early pioneers to sing Ragam Thanam Pallavis, as pioneers, as in a woman singing Ragam Thanam Pallavis was a completely new thing in those days, and Pattammal very boldly took the step forward and she sung so many lovely Pallavis in different ragams like that include ragams like Vachaspati, Dhanyashi, Jagan Mohini, and you know, she also sang Pallavis in the normal ragas. And she sang them in complicated talas, nadais, gatis. And again, remember that she was inspired by Naina Pillai, but she did not really have anybody to guide her. It was her own innate grasping skill that she was able to sing them, perfect them, and sing them flawlessly on stage. I'm going to play a short Thanam and a short Pallavi clip for you to see that aspect.
Dayananda 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 dayananda
There is a Pallavi in Tishra Jati Rupakatalam Mishra Gati. Can you confirm? Yeah.
Oh,
This is not an easy Pallavi to sing. The Sahityam falls at odd places, especially when you do the male column. So it needed such strength in Laya to sing Pallavis like this. There's a short Ragamalika section also. I'll play that and I'll conclude with that.
Ba 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 ba
Okay. So with that, we paid a nice tribute to D.K. Pattammal. We thought of her with the bottom of our hearts and with our minds. And now we'll continue in the same mood with a wonderful concert by Vijay Shiva and accompanied by Sri Ram Kumar and J. Vaidyanathan. If they permit, I will play it. I think we need time for the voice
testing.
Mic
yeah.
testing.
Yeah.
They want to hear one short clipping of another song.
How long would that be?
About 3-4 minutes. Okay. 3-4 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah?
Thank you. Thank you. No problem. Thank you.
We aim to please.
Yeah, this became her signature song.
Thank you.